The role of intention in the field of research. First of all, it should be realized that intention has a great role to play in how one proceeds with their chosen task. The same task undertaken with different intentions leads to different outcomes and effects. In short, intention plays a big role in every task one undertakes, and the reality of intention inevitably impacts the outcome. This effect is not hypothetical and imaginary, but definite and real. For instance, take the case of one who is employed to work under an officer. He obeys him only because he is his superior, but he has no personal interest in carrying out his orders, and has no personal relationship of love with him, nor is he impressed by his competence and capability. In such a case, he would obey merely because he is legally bound to do so, and he would comply with his orders to fulfill his contractual obligations. One will not see any zeal, fervor, or interest in his performance. However, if the same person had a personal bond of loyalty with the officer, admiration for his competence and capability, and interest in his orders, then his obedience would acquire a totally different character, and his approach to the job would be absolutely exceptional. All his actions would show zeal, fervor, and personal interest. This difference is because of different intentions. Though obedience is carried out under both circumstances, the difference in intentions has made a world of difference in the approach to work. The same applies to inquiring about God. A philosopher researches, and so does the seeker, with the same objective, i.e., to find God, but with completely different intentions. The philosopher carries out his research with the intention of finding out whether or not there is a creator of this universe by studying the universe. His intention is solely to gain intellectual capital. Beyond his existence, he is not interested in learning about his attributes, his relationship with his servants, the relationship his servants should have with him, or the means to reach him. He does not desire a relationship with him, nor does he long for his nearness, nor seek his friendship, nor is he anxious to reach him or to learn and comply with his will. He wants only to fulfill his academic research. On the other hand, the one who seeks God with true zeal desires to have a true bond with God, wishes to attain his friendship and love, yearns to find him, and aspires to attain ways that will earn God's pleasure. Can the search of the two be alike? No, never. So first of all, one must purify their intention and search as a seeker and not as a philosopher, and cultivate the eagerness and passion required for the search of truth. Milk would not begin to flow from the breasts of a mother for her infant were the infant to present a serious and appropriate face to the mother and ask the mother to show him whether or not milk is present for his sustenance. Rather, milk flows readily and freely for a baby who seeks it with the agony of hunger and cries for it. At such a time, even if the mother should wish, she cannot stop the milk from flowing, and this milk becomes a source of nourishment for the baby and saves him from dying. Similarly, God does not manifest himself to a philosopher. Rather, he keeps away from him because he does not want to become a plaything, to be toyed with by the imaginations of the philosophers. In contrast, God himself comes to the seeker. God is more loving and faithful than a mother and does not wish his true seeker to perish in the darkness of ignorance. It is amazing that both seeker and philosopher seek God, but he turns away from the philosopher and hurries towards the seeker. So, O my dear ones, in your search for God, never tread the path of philosophers, for you will never find God that way. The search for him in this way is fruitless anyway, because if, after finding God, we do nothing about it, then what is the point of seeking him? Why should we spend our time, attention, and energy just to confirm whether or not God exists? This will not help us at all. Rather, it will be damaging, as remaining unmindful after finding him will make us guilty of two crimes. God will never reveal his countenance to us as a result of this type of effort. He will only manifest himself to us when he sees that we want to reach him with genuine eagerness. Our objective is to benefit from the blessings of his nearness, and we wish to establish a personal relationship with him in order to attain the heights of progress, which is, after all, the purpose of human life. Therefore, develop true eagerness and passion so that your efforts may be fruitful and your labor may achieve the purpose. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, "There is no path nearer than the path of love, following which the seekers cross countless thorny deserts. Love is the secret to reach him, O friends. It is the alchemy that will make you wealthy beyond imagination. The arrow of love's effect never misses its target. O my archers, slacken not for a moment. This is the fire that shall protect you from all fire. This is the water from which flow countless springs. It is love that will make the eternal friend come to you by himself. It is this that shall adorn you with garlands of true knowledge." And he says, "Whoever wants to find God through mere intellect is certainly mad, because the hidden ways of his access are beyond the reach of mere intellect."